Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Today, I just want to give you another piece of information that is consistent with what I've already told you before, that early on I said, hey, the mRNA vaccines and the other one too, the Johnson & Johnson, basically worked the same way. It gave the body instructions to create proteins. Problem is, it's not something so specific as a computer code, because I don't have that much control over what the body is, and we don't know it as well. So if you're telling the body to produce proteins, do you really know the limitation and the worst case scenario of if some people might overly produce it? And the answer is we do not, except that then we got good indications that the worst case scenario is pretty effing bad, both in the developing the spike proteins and what else might be happening, since you're tinkering over with instructions and on protein factories. What else are you screwing up, since you're now giving instructions as opposed to just giving a limited amount of material for the body to react to and update its antibody factory, its antibody library, rather. So I'm going to give you a case study here, and it's going to be overwhelming information that is going to go along with the idea that most likely this particular body overproduced these fibrous materials that I've told you about, that people are pulling out of even beating hearts. It's not a blood clot. It looks like a pasta. It's like this fiber that is free floating, if you will. So maybe it starts as in the blood cells. I don't know. All I know is that it turns into, if you will, almost a flat pasta looking type of thing in some cases, that are, you know, sometimes fractions of an inch, but sometimes an inch to 3 to 4 inches, and, you know, a quarter inch wide. These are arterial blockages. And now remember, the term clotting might just be being used for blockages, and the granularity of the difference in terms is hiding the fact that these people who have, quote, heart attacks are really just have massive arterial blockages from these fibers. So by the end of this episode, you're going to hear something that, granted, while it's a case study, I've already told you about the other thing. So it's just another little backup because of the facts in the case study. So what brings the occasion up for this is that over in London, a very prominent cardiologist that has published on heart attacks as a metabolic problem, even related to insulin resistance, which is interesting because I'm reading another a book on that right now. But nonetheless, he's a cardiologist. He's presented. He is a significant person. And not only that, but not someone who was initially against the vaccine rollout, someone who was happily stupid about it, and in fact tried to shut down people who had any hesitancy about it. Now that he's had a personal situation, he's decided it's good enough to look at. And once he did look at it, he went, whoa, 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 this is a problem. So, yes, I mean, honestly, blood's on his hands as well, because he's been one of these mouthpieces that tried to browbeat people into submission as basically a moral outrage by saying, and also saying that, and gaslighting people. But that's not where he is now. And so this is why both his background and, you know, the information that he presents is a great case study. And individual facts will tell you that this is exactly in line with what I've been telling you and pointing out in different ways. So this top London cardiologist is a Dr. Asim Malhotra, who has now presented a paper that was also published in the Journal of Insulin Resistance in two parts. It's titled "Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines Through Real Evidence-Based Medicine." Now, that's going to cover things like, oh yeah, it turns out when we looked into the data, they didn't do, they did relative risk, not, you know, absolute risk. And that's entirely two different things. And the number of people you have to treat in order to even make a difference in one symptomatic case is a massive number of people. And therefore, what is the net benefit here? So this guy's coming to the party late And so I'm going to give you just a little bit of his background, then go to what ends up being kind of, it seems like an anecdote, but I would call it a case study because he's got a lot of background to it because it's his own father. So let me give you just a little bit of background here. Dr. Malhotra is an expert in the prevention, diagnosis, and management of heart disease. He's a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians and president of the Scientific Advisory Committee of the Public Health Collaboration, president of the Scientific Advisory Committee of the Public Health Collaboration. He also is an honorary council member to the Metabolic Psychiatry Clinic at Stanford University School of Medicine. He was joined during his news conference that tried to get publicity around his paper by a Dr. Ryan Cole, a Mayo Clinic trained pathologist, and Dr. Tess Lowry, Lawrie, co-founder of the nonprofit World Council for Health. And so that's some of the background. And then I'm going to tell you this the details on his initially, basically, really, in many ways, people like him have blood on their hands because he acted as though anybody having any suspicion was insane and should not be listened to and should be shamed. So he did this too, just like the Sanjay Guptas of the world. He appeared on Good Morning Britain. He said specifically, I was willfully blind, certainly in relation to the vaccine and the harms, until I wasn't. And so he said, I appeared back in August 21 on Good Morning, I'm sorry, February of 21 on Good Morning Britain, and said, clearly some irrational reasoning behind why people don't want to take the vaccine, which is based on very blatant and false information that's circulating in social media. And yet once he had a personal reason, because he doesn't not have empathy, or didn't at the time, is lacking empathy. I am an expert and I've heard from other experts. Hey, idiot. Okay. You're very smart, but you've got to be more politically aware from this. And this is why when, you know, there was a billion impressions in a matter of 2 months before there was even any real number of cases in America, people who are politically steeped knew, well, this is bad. And people like the doctor here, Malhotra, did not get it. So he didn't understand, what if all I'm hearing is the echo chamber of the parrots of other alleged experts who have only listened to the echo chamber and have not looked into it themselves either? Because in February of 21, he's on this. And remember, look at my previous episodes. The information about the heart problems was in an October 2020 FDA national meeting that happened 8 hours, but they didn't emphasize it. They let the slide show and did not mention any of the actual effects verbally at all, and let two different sets of slides show for about 3 seconds total in 8 hours. And clearly, accidentally didn't show the slides because one person talked about it for about 24 to 30 seconds. Go find that in one of my previous episodes. I let you hear the audio. I do a play-by-play on where the slides show up and so on. So he did not know about these side effects and in fact thought that the raw data didn't come in until later. And he's wrong about that. But he's wrong about that because the scumbags, the people with death on their hands who knew about that information as a side effect for these vaccines, but instead said, it's kind of like politics, right? Because it ended up being political. Our cause is too important for the facts to get in our way, because if the facts get in our way, then people will be muddied up with those facts. And we can't have those facts because then people will disproportionately be concerned about those facts. And so he says that not long after his very fit and healthy 73-year-old vaccinated father died in July of 21, he did decide to investigate these claims. And not long after that, data started to emerge that suggested there was a possible link between the mRNA vaccine and increased risk of heart attack. He is wrong. The data was known in October of 2020. And so therefore, he calls for him. We're going to get to the case study. That's the important part. It is his father, but he has very specific facts that turn this more into a case study than a mere anecdote. So he says, until all the raw data on the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines have been independently analyzed, any claims reporting that they confer a net benefit to humankind cannot be considered to be evidence-based. Now, I would say this. Now, remember, Pfizer started to say that, well, can we take 50 years to give you all this? And they said, no, you can't take 50 years. But they still let them kind of slow leak it. You know, it's 1,000 pages at a time. This information, a lot of it's really the roll-up data, I believe. And a lot of stuff can be found out from the roll-up data. But we really should see the raw data. But don't absolutely quote me on that. I think that's his point here. Until all the raw data have been independently analyzed, any claims purporting that they confer a net benefit to humankind cannot be considered to be evidence-based. True. I was telling you that a year and a half ago. So now let's go then. Oh, before we go there, let's pull this highlight out that he discovered from his examination of UK data that there had been an extra 14,000 out-of-hospital cardiac arrests in 2021 when the vaccine rolled out compared to 20. Listen to my previous episodes. A lot of things distinguish between the effects after the solution was rolled out versus 2020 when it had not been rolled out yet. 2020, basically until very December, but it had hardly been rolled out. Whatever effect happened at that point as far as excess deaths and this side effect and that side effect is a clean split from what was happening from the respiratory illness versus the solution for it. Come 2020, basically, January is when it starts to be rolled out, and then greater and greater as life as that year rolled on. If you see a major difference in effect from about, say, March of 2021, versus the 2020, March through December of 2020, that's your distinction between the solution and not. All right, so let's go very quickly then to the paper so I can tell you about the case study. The case study, and again, this article is entitled, I think I said it earlier, but maybe not. I've tried a couple of different takes on this. I may not have on this one. My other takes were too long. Journal of Insulin Resistance, Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines Through Real Evidence-Based Medicine, Part 1 and 2. And this is the author, Asim Malhotra. So he gives a lot of background. And then he says, while vaccines save lives, blah, 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 and so on. The case study is this. And this is going to go to the ideas that I've told you about. And I'll tell you why. Case studies are a useful way of, I'm quoting now, useful way of conveying complex clinical information and can elicit useful data that would be lost or not be made apparent in the summary results of a clinical trial. On 26 July 21, my father, Dr. Kailash Chand, OBE, former deputy chair of the British Medical Association, BMA, and its honorary vice president, parentheses, who had also taken both doses of the Pfizer mRNA vaccine 6 months earlier, end quote, in parentheses, suffered a cardiac arrest at home after experiencing chest pain. A subsequent inquiry revealed that a significant ambulance delay likely contributed to his death. But his post-mortem findings are what I find particularly shocking and inexplicable. Remember, this is a cardiologist. He has published before. Two of his three major arteries had severe blockages, 90% blockage in his left anterior descending artery, and a 75% blockage in his right coronary. All right, now that can be, and the next sentence is that he's 73 years old, well, extremely fit and active. And if you're smart at this point, until you know more, but trust me, I'm going to tell you more. And you can then trust those details, you would say, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people think the 73-year-old is healthy until he's not, he drops over. What about Jim Fix and the Complete Book of Running? He died when he was 44, 42, or 46, whatever that was, and he was supposedly healthy. And so is this enough? No, but I'm going to tell you more. Given that he was an extremely fit and active 73-year-old man, having walked an average of 10 to 15,000 steps a day during the whole of the lockdown, this was a shock to everyone who knew him, but most of all to me. And here's the important part. I knew his medical history and lifestyle habits in great detail. My father, who had been a keen sportsman all of his life, was fitter than the overwhelming majority of men his age. Again, not persuasive. But this next part is, Since the previous heart scans a few years earlier, which had revealed no significant problems with perfect blood flow throughout his arteries and only mild furring. Now, I looked at that term up because I was not familiar with it. That just means a little bit of our arterial wall buildup. So perfect blood flow, only mild arterial wall buildup. He had quit sugar, lost belly fat, reduced the dose of his blood pressure pills, started regular meditation, reversed his pre-diabetes, and even massively dropped his blood triglycerides, significantly improving his cholesterol profile. All right, so what's the point here? The point here is this. Only 3 years ago, in the previous heart scan, we did have good information past the, oh, we thought he was really healthy, and that there was minimum arterial buildup. And now, there's 90% blockage in one, 75% in the other. Now, what is this consistent with? We've got to think past this idea of purely if it's statistically significant, do we pay attention to it? Yes, if we are designing something and something is statistically significant, that we should especially pay attention to. But that doesn't mean we can't be on the trail of things. You know, it's like a detective who doesn't have a smoking gun yet, but has a really good sense. And once he has enough circumstantial evidence, then we see what's going on. So we know that this vaccine was different in kind. It was not a vaccine in the regular and traditional sense. It wasn't put the dead virus into the deltoid enough for the body to react to generally and then specifically to get the antibody profile for so that it can react to the real thing when it comes in. It wasn't that. It wasn't show the puzzle pieces and put a limited amount in. Okay, it was not that. It's not the limited amount. And if there's a limited amount, there can be no runaway because we already know what the limited amount is and it's not alive. Okay, so it stays in the deltoid. The body responds to it. Instead, we have stupidly just created an extra step here. Why give the... We have created an extra step which introduces a potential new risk. So you can listen to many of my episodes. We make things more complicated because Medicaid and or the FDA does not require your more complicated and more expensive solutions to be any more effective. All they have to be is as effective. They can be no more effective than an aspirin. So if after that the salesmanship wins, they just get to suggest their new costs. And therefore, we have the incentive to create quote, better technology, quote, new technology. No, it does. The effectiveness does not have to be proportional to the new pricing. It doesn't have to be even more effective than the thing. It can be 0% more effective, but simply no less effective than the old. And yet it can be 100, 1,000, 10,000 times more expensive. The Medicaid will allow that. And that really builds the allowance for cost. It informs the allowance for cost everywhere else. So instead of just putting in the dead virus, we give instructions. We say, go, first of all, we need a nanolipid Trojan horse because otherwise the body would spit this crap out. It would attack it immediately and go, this is foreign. You can go look at the literature. How do we get these instructions into the cell? The body sees it immediately and gets rid of it. It's a threat. So we put a nanolipid around it, and we perfected this way for it to get into the cell where otherwise the body would definitely not want it to be. And then we say we go hijack the protein building machinery, and because we do that, there's no specific end stop at 10. I've said this before. It's not a computer program. It's not count, and then once it's up to 10, stop. We now go from, we know the exact amount that we put in and it will not be any greater and it's dead, to produce it. That's how stupidly inelegant it is and imprecise. Our instructions now say, produce it. It doesn't say how many, it says produce it, which brings open the risk of producing too many, both the spike proteins, but then also stupidly, as though we understand and are masters of the body, which we are not, We have now taken over a protein factory. Who knows what side effects might have just occurred? Because we don't have enough granular detail, and or we're not looking at the granular detail and not looking for the side effects, because we're only looking for an antibody effect. Yes, we want to find, hey, it produced an immune response. Well, so will any poison, you jackass. That's not success without more information. So now we have a potential overproduction, the bell curve. Yes, some people produce very little. Other people might produce way too much, as we know very early, because in October of 2020, on the slideshows, we know a bunch of side effects that are not in the deltoid, jackass. So if they're not in the deltoid, and the solution is only supposed to make the immune system be ready to attack the real thing when it comes through next time, then how is it that we have circulatory side effects? How is it that we have death? Well, some of it just could be, some of it attributed to just regular vaccine aspects, but that's neither here nor there. And so couldn't some of it be this newly introduced risk of overproduction? Yes, it could be. We know that the spike proteins went everywhere throughout the body. You can find find the articles that says it basically goes through all the tissues. It doesn't stay at the deltoid. It doesn't stay local. And if it goes throughout all the tissues, doesn't that kind of imply that it gets overproduced? Because again, it's not that 100 went everywhere. It's that some unknown number were produced and then went all over the place. All right? But wait for it. What else is going on? When we said 90% blockage, what have we told you about many a time? We've told you about this pasta, if you will, these fibers that are being pulled out of beating hearts. These, looking like flat pasta type fibrous material inside arteries. That is not a blood clot. And what is that consistent with? The body's cells being hijacked and being told to produce proteins. Who knows what else this is causing, but it's making the factories inside the cells do more than they would have done otherwise. These are not normal growths inside cells. Obviously, what's supposed to go through there are blood cells, and blood clots do not look like flat pieces of pasta. And these have been found over and over again. So where are they coming from? They're coming from the instructions being hijacked and these idiots being too stupid to understand that they just, the butterfly effect, the thing they don't understand and then act for marketing purposes like they perfectly well understand it. So is the blockage blood clots? Well, shoot, only three, is it arteriosclerosis? Only 3 years ago, there was minimal furring. Or is it that in the granularity of are there blockages that they're missing, whether it's the arterial wall blockages versus all these fibers? After all, they would be pretty dense. So is it the fibers that are 75% and 90% blocking these arteries in the 73-year-old man that only a few years earlier had minimal blocking and basically complete blood flow? You don't have complete blood flow if you've got 50 and 60% blockage, as we would expect would be where he was at 70, let alone if he then took on better dietary habits. So what I'm telling you is this specific case study is exactly in line with these fibrous bodies being created in the body as a result of the inelegant hijacking of the cell factories, as a result of these idiots under the guise of new technology that we can charge more for, will get to replace all these vaccines with the quote new high-tech version of them that stupidly adds an extra step for the body to create the item that you supposedly have already found, because otherwise how would you know how to get the body to mimic it? If you knew how to mimic what to mimic, then you had it. So just use it. No, that's not new enough technology. So now you have the side effect of the cells factories not basically doing something else. That is what is happening here. This man likely died of these fibrous growths inside his arterial walls. And the other aspect is that I want to point out to you, every single time you get a booster, until they admit this, or unless they're presenting it behind the scenes and they change it significantly, if it is somehow still mRNA, if it is instructions based, then you tell me whether you believe that all of a sudden they understand what they did wrong with their instructions, such that it won't potentially overproduce. Do you think they got there from here? Remember, original vaccine safety trial is supposed to take 5 to 10 years. Do you think that somehow, now that they've put out an alleged new one, oh, behind the scenes, we didn't tell anybody because we don't want to get our butt sued off. But behind the scenes, don't worry, we fixed that problem. No, don't believe that. If you took a booster, and every booster you take that is the old technology, every single time you are increasing your risk of having fibrous materials grow inside your arteries that will result in arterial blockage. Don't listen to me. Listen to all the things I cited, even in this very episode. I'm just pulling the pieces together. It is not arteriosclerosis that's happening suddenly. It is these fibrous materials that are building up that are being pulled out of active, out of living hearts and living arteries and in dead people when they try to put in the phlebotomist, try to put in the material that they use here. They use the our cardiovascular system to preserve people with. They use that, and that's where they put their fluid. They open it up in a certain spot, and instead they find this weird stuff blocking their equipment. It is fibrous material that is not natural in the arterial system. Each and every time you take another one of these boosters, you are increasing the risk of fibrous materials being produced by your own body inside your arteries, as well as just the regular risk of the spike proteins, which could definitely maybe score the sides of your arteries. Okay, guys, that's it for me. Thanks for listening.